Welcome to Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. I'll be covering every studio song the band has recorded and every bonus track that I can find. Each week, we'll go over a new song from the beginning to where they are currently, and as they keep adding albums, I'll keep adding shows. Let the deep dive party begin.
In the magic garden, some were singing, some were dancing.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. I am your host, Scott Haskin, and I am bringing you a fan-based but band-endorsed podcast. As far as I know, at least I haven't seen any others, but I haven't seen any other deep dive shows anywhere that were endorsed by the band. So this is just super cool. After all this time of doing the show, my appreciation for that still, it's just not lost on me that I was able to get that Mick was kind enough to be open to my idea for doing the show and that he supported it. And really, really awesome stuff. So today we are covering the song Stealin'. And this one is one that this will only be the third time I've covered it. What I realized, because I thought I had covered it, a live version of it, but you know what? The Live in 73 album was recorded the album before Stealin' was done. So that was recorded during Magician's birthday. Stealin' was on Sweet Freedom. So there you have it. Wouldn't have been on there. So yeah, this is only time number four. The first time was February 11th of 2021. And then, of course, I just recently covered it again on the Totally Driven album back on May 8th. So, this will be interesting to see with the new band. There's been a huge difference between Totally Driven and this album Celebration so far. Very curious to see what they do with Stealin'. Let's check it out. The sound so far is fantastic. You know, I remember when I reviewed this last time for Totally Driven, I said it felt like Trevor was a little bit off in his timing, and I kind of feel the same thing at the very beginning of this. You know what, though? I think it's fine. I like it. I like the fact that it's human. If it were done today, they would put that into Pro Tools or whatever, you know, digital audio workstation they were using. And then they would just like move all of the little transients into space so that everything would be a perfect performance. And I've always said I love the fact of the way bands used to record before everything was digital and they just have to make it perfect. They have to correct everything because it's human. You know, you listen to a lot of the older bands like music from the 60s and 70s when they do starts and stops and stuff, they're not always 100% together. Now all that stuff gets quantized and aligned so that it's quote unquote perfect. But you know what? I like it human. I like it a little bit more human. So I'm fine with the fact that it's not a perfect rhythm. In fact, I prefer that there's just like a little bit of a variation to it.
Take me across.
This is such a great style of music for Bernie's voice, I think. You know, you've got the smooth organ, the smooth bass, and then you've got that grit in his voice that gives a little bit of a contrast to the music. And it, of course, you know, just the way he sings, his style. I've talked about it so many times, especially last season. Just really lends itself to this kind of music so perfectly. I love this going back to the classic sound for this album. It was something I really felt they missed on Totally Driven. And I've said, if you're going to redo your songs, you should change things. And I would agree with that. But there are certain things that are staples to the song, I think. And this would be one of them. The backups that this band has done historically have been very much a part of the character of the band. So to really make some drastic changes in that, it worked on one level, but it doesn't work on another level for me. And I like this so far much more than Totally Driven for that reason, because it's redoing the songs, but keeping the things that made it Uriah Heep, keeping the things that were the most charming. And really happy with the sound. That was very nice backing vocal section there. Man, I love that bass tone that Trevor's getting, and his performance there is just fantastic. He could have just kept going on the bottom notes and just playing the shuffle side of it. But I love when he starts to meander on this song. It just sounds really good. I think Russell will be the biggest difference maker in this song as far as the modernizing of it. So I'm very curious to see what he's going to do as he's just starting to come into the song now. Great way to end that phrase from Bernie. This is going to get interesting. The drums sound nice and powerful. And, you know, in the original version, and even to a little bit lesser of a degree on Acoustically or Totally Driven, they were more subtle. You know, they weren't as much out front in the mix. But this, to me, sounds very powerful. I love the way the drums are cutting through, really giving the song a different kind of edge. I feel it's a little more, I feel a little more sense of urgency, I think, with this sound than I did in the other song. Like, you really want to accomplish the goal of the story. And I've always felt that. But, like, with this incarnation of the song, I think I feel a little more. I feel that sense of purpose. No, I'm not interrupting Mick's solo. I'm going to go back and restart it, but I didn't want to cut Bernie off. See, that's the problem when things overlap. That gets a little more challenging in the decision-making for me. So the fairest way to do it is just let them both be heard. That being said, I just wanted to stop it here because that is a fantastic performance from Bernie. You really get to see some of the power that he's got in his voice as well as his range. He doesn't really show off his higher ranges a whole lot. So it's nice to hear that come through every once in a while. And I'm kind of surprised that Russell's playing pretty straightforward so far. So we'll see if he thickens things up along the way or if he continues with the more traditional style on the song. Okay, that's what I was waiting for from Russell, was a big fill like that. So it made sense to start that coming back into the song from the solo. Great solo from Mick. He took the original solo, added some really good hot sauce to it, and gave a stunning performance there. Some of the frequencies, I think, got a little bit lost with the keyboard tone in the background. And it's one thing that, you know, as a songwriter, I really try to think about you know, not just what sounds good on the individual instrument, but how that octave or those notes interact with the frequencies of other instruments. I think the keyboard might have been diminishing some of the guitar frequencies a little bit, not allowing the solo to cut through in all places as it should have. But again, that's my ears on these headphones that I'm using. And yeah, I should point out the headphones that I'm actually using are AKG K240 Studio Pro headphones. Very nice, very comfortable, really good clarity of sound. I'm really happy that I switched to these. They sound better and they're more comfortable for the long hours that I spend working with headphones. And it doesn't look like the inner ear cushion is going to start flaking off like it did on my old headphones and get little bits of black foam on my ear all the time. It gets really annoying, find little bits of it on the floor. So I like these headphones a lot better. Highly recommend them for listening to music. And yeah, that's my promo for them. Yeah, I didn't really like that as much. The vocals were fine, but that phrasing of it, it just seemed a little casual. It didn't feel like he's realized that he's made a mistake and, you know, admitting what he's done, which I kind of got out of the original and even I think a little bit out of the last version too. It seemed that dawn of realization and the almost the pain of knowing your mistake. Here it just seems like a very flat, straightforward read of the lyrics. So that part is not as powerful for me, but the music bed around it is really driving for this tempo. It's hard to drive something, but I have to say it does push forward. Yeah, I feel the same thing here. It's really kind of matter of fact. I don't feel any real emotion or passion in the vocals, which is really weird because I've always felt this, you know, song had some really good vocal power to it. But here I feel like it's almost radio friendly commercial, just standard 80s backing vocals and not that real emotional, everybody's, you know, pushing their voice and putting their heart into it. It just seems very static. Yeah, I'm pretty sad to say I think this one kind of lost me. I don't think those hard stops really helped the song. I think that kind of stuff would work on stage, but as far as a recording, I don't think it translates as well, at least not for me. So that and the more monotone backing vocals and that part in the lead vocals that was a little flat, I think kind of killed it for me. I think this could have been a really powerful song, especially adding, you know, Russell's drumming. He was heading in that direction, some, you know, really powerful fill coming out of the guitar solo. And if they'd have built from that, I think it could have been a kick-ass version of the song. But it just kind of faded for me a little bit. So, not this won't be my favorite version of the song, which is absolutely fine. And I have to go back and forth between that. Is it the nostalgia of the fact that I've known the original version from Sweet Freedom forever? Or is it that I really don't like what they did with this version? I have to say it's that I really don't like what they did with this one. I think I've been able to get over the nostalgia factor for the most part on this show. Although I would say if they had redone maybe Salisbury or Poets Justice, those would have been super difficult songs, but I got past it on Sweet Freedom. And that was another one that I had anticipated would be difficult. So I think I'm able to be pretty objective and just judge the version that I'm hearing now. And I have to say, live, this probably would be fine here. Listening to it in the studio where songs are recorded and they can be, you know, perfected and new takes and all that. I have to say, it just fell a little bit short for me. And I never thought I would use words like monotone or flat with the song Stealin'. Just never had occurred to me until a couple of minutes ago that those words would ever be associated with this song. So for me, not a winner, not a big deal. Doesn't hurt anyone else. Doesn't even hurt me. Just the way I feel about the song. Before I wrap up today's episode, you know, I talk from time to time about the tools that I use on the show. And recently I talked about the big change with Wave plugins. So for you audiophiles out there, I thought I would just kind of give you an update on what I found out about the Wave situation. So they have changed their model from a flat purchase of the a plugin with the option to do an upgrade plan, which means that you pay a fee to be able to get access to any updates they make. You may be paying a fee and they don't update it. So it's kind of a risky thing. I kind of feel that they shortchanged their older customers who paid thousands of dollars for their plugin packages before. And, you know, in recent years, you can get plugins for $30 or, you know, some of those like the I don't think the diamond package, but like the Mercury or whatever, for like a couple $100, where people had paid thousands for that before. So it's like every time they do something new, they screw over their long-term devoted customers. So what I've read up on and what they've done is they've now just changed it to a subscription only. You can't buy the plugins, no more things going on sale, no more having access to just the one you want. They've got, 25 different compressors on their site. So you pay this fee. It's an annual fee that they break up monthly. And I guess you can do, like, you can just turn it on or off anytime you want. But how many compressors do I need access to? What am I really paying for? It just does not make a lot of sense. Not to mention the fact that I have the stuff I need. I mean, there's a couple things that I thought would be cool to have that I hadn't purchased yet. But you know what? I have what I need. And so the plugins that I've purchased should continue to work, but this is why I upgraded from Windows 8.1 to Windows 10, was specifically because my Wave plugins weren't going to be working anymore. And it was becoming a problem. I'm like, well, I have to update just because of the podcast. So I went through the expense and effort, which was quite a chore, of upgrading to Windows 10. Once I finally got all that done, then the plugins work. The ones that I purchased that didn't work in Windows 8.1 now work, which is great, except for the fact that now any future updates, if I update to 11 and the versions that I have, because I didn't pay for upgrade plans, don't work on 11, then I can't use them anymore. So I'll continue to use like a Vocal Rider and Deep Breath and Sibilance as I do the podcast and as I do my other podcasts. But at the same time, I'm probably going to be looking for some alternatives. I like the way these are set. They're dialed in. You know, I just pull in the template that I made for each plugin and boom, the show, it comes off exactly the same every time. So there might be a slight shift. And of course, this will be down the road when I have time, well after this podcast is done, or the bulk of it is done. But for those of you audiophiles that are following the Wave situation, I did find it interesting. Somebody else had posted about it on Facebook, and I read a few of the you know the comments, and everybody was pretty unanimous in the fact that they felt screwed over, that their plans that they had been paying for, now the whole thing shifted, and yes, they still own the old stuff, but now they're just renting new stuff, and it didn't really, like, when you when you pay for something and you pay for that to be yours, and then they just say, well, you know, if you just pay a couple bucks a month, you didn't have to pay the $150 you paid for it. And you get access to all this other stuff. It's like, well, you know, it's like you buy something and then something goes on sale like right afterwards and it just sucks, except that this is a company that is intentionally making a move that hurts their long-term customers. And a lot of people, I don't know if it will be enough to actually rock them. Because whenever, you know, a company does something, this whole flock of people is like, I'm going to quit. Screw you guys. I'm taking my business elsewhere. And some of them do and some of them don't. But it's usually not enough to actually make a dent. So I'll be curious to see for all the people that are really upset at the, because I mean, we're not talking a few dollars or even a couple hundred dollars. I mean, for a lot of these people, we're talking thousands of dollars over the years. And for some, I would imagine like the Diamond plugin folks, maybe even $10,000. So I would imagine they are going to lose a chunk of business. They probably don't care. They figure that they'll make it up in subscriptions and it'll be fine. Because from their perspective, the subscription model is great because that's continually incoming money. From like, let's say I purchase the program, it's money every month that they're getting from me, whereas I might only buy one plugin for $30 all year if I didn't sign up for it. So they stand the chance to make more of a consistent income stream from doing this, but I think not making the plugins available for continuing to purchase them for people who don't want to be on the plan, I think they're missing the boat on that. I think trying to force people to go on the plan by not making those available was their goal, but they've also alienated a lot of people. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I've already kind of just gazed at a couple of other products to replace the ones that I have should they stop working. Because you know what? All it takes is one Windows update and then bam, those programs don't work anymore. And I can't get updates on them because that plan is not available. So there's really nothing I can do. If they stop working, they stop working. And I have shows that need to continue and they need to sound pretty consistent. So anyway, that's for you audiophile folks. The other thing I'll say on it that I found very interesting, and I think Waves might be circling the wagons a little bit. I'm sure they anticipated a huge amount of backlash. They had to have. But they weren't responding to any of the people that were commenting on their own page. So on their Facebook page, they made a big announcement. It's, okay, now we've switched everything over. It's all Creative Cloud stuff. No more individual purchases. And the list of comments, I mean, it was long. And I didn't see really much of anything positive except that, hey, you know what, if you want this stuff, other people make it too, was about as positive as it got. The rest was pretty stressed and angry and hateful and hurt and screwed over and everything else. So I don't know, but they didn't respond to anything. They didn't defend their position and try to win anybody back, which I don't know, maybe it's too early. Maybe they're like just scrambling to figure out how to phrase it, which is probably what I would do. I would probably take a step back and I would want to jump in right away, but I would probably take a step back and really figure out how to approach it instead of just responding from a point of being defensive or angry that people didn't like our decision or whatever. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I hope at some point, just for their own sake, because they do make good stuff and a lot of people depend on their stuff. It's a staple in studios. It's like, you know, considered top of the food chain, even though I think other companies make equal or better plugins sometimes. Waves has always been the standard. So it's going to hurt a lot of people. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Hopefully they'll at least go back to the, you can still purchase these individually, or you can have access to everything by doing the cloud. Similar vendors have done that, and it seems to be working for them. In fact, a lot of people in the comments said, you know what, if they don't want to do it, that's fine. Go to this site because they are doing that, and you have your choice of doing it either way. So I don't know. But for you audiophiles that are keeping up with the big change in the Waves plugins, that is my two cents. I know it has nothing to do with Uriah Heep, but it does have to do with, I don't know, current times or whatever. So that's why I saved it for after the review was over. Hope you guys enjoyed the song. I'm kind of surprised that I didn't. I was really looking forward to seeing what they did with this one, and it just didn't hit for me, which is okay. So we'll see what happens in our next episode. We'll be back on Thursday with another remake song from Celebration. Cheers. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. If you have enjoyed this show, please consider going over to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast outlet, leaving a rating or a review. Be sure to subscribe to make sure that you are notified when new episodes are available. Please be sure to share this podcast with your fellow Uriah Heep enthusiasts and anyone who you think would like Uriah Heep, which should be everyone. And if you are so inclined, please feel free to contribute to the Patreon account. And if you are not a Patreon subscriber, you can also pay through the PayPal link on the website listed in the show links below. I would also like to thank Uriah Heep for their very generous support of the show, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Happy days!